Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we're going to read verses 6 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 51, verses 6 through 15. Psalm 51, verses 6 through 15. Parents, if your children were in junior church today, by the way, not against that, it may help them if you pull today's sermon up and let them hear it online sometime soon. That would be a very good thing to do. Turn the stupid television off and let them listen to preaching once. But today's sermon will, this morning's sermon will have helped them an awful lot if they were not in here. And just thought I'd pass that along. All right, Psalm 51, verses 6 through 15, and again, let's read this passage responsively. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And let's pray. Father, once again, we come to you. In the next 35 minutes or so, I pray that you would change somebody's life. Lord, so often we look at life and what's going on around us, and we fail to look at you. We look around, we look down, we look around us, but we fail to look up. And I pray that tonight you would fill me with your power to help your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our world has very little what I would call joy. It has some level of happiness, but it has very little joy. The sad thing to me is that Christians are to have joy, but too often they walk around discouraged, depressed, fearful, and sometimes remorseful. I get a little tired of Christians. I'm a Christian. I can't have any fun. I'd like to do what the world's doing. Well, if you know what the world's fun ends up in, you wouldn't want to do what the world's fun is. I hate to tell you, Christian young person, but you're not missing anything by obeying God.
That's right.
The only thing you're missing is bad things, not good things. And I'm not afraid to say that. Most people want happiness, but they do not want joy. There is a big difference between happiness and joy. You see, they would not worry about happiness if they had joy. Do you realize if you have joy, you're not worried about happiness? But here's the thing. Happiness means good happenings. The root word of happiness is the word happen or happenings. And that means this. You get happy because you get to have happenings come to you or through you that you enjoy doing. When I shot the buck that's hanging in my office, that was happiness. It was not joy. Everybody understand? That was a good happening, and it was a good shot. 283 yards, dropped him in his tracks. Amen? Now, wait a minute. That was happiness. I watched that buck for 10 minutes. I was praying, oh, God, bring him closer. That's a long shot. Oh, God, bring him closer. I texted my wife, 8-point buck in the field, pray. My heart's going, that cotton picker stood out there on his head eating hay and alfalfa. I mean, eating and eating, and all of a sudden I'm thinking he's going to come my way. He'd walk a few yards at me. And then he started to turn. And I've watched enough deer for a long time. I know when they're getting ready to go to another place. And he wasn't coming my direction. He going farther away. I leaned that old Ot-6 up on the rail, and I said, okay, God, here we go. I exhaled, waited for my heart to thump, squeezed the trigger. I didn't say, blessed be the name of the Lord, I have joy. I said, oh, yeah, that was happiness. It was not joy. There was a happening that took place that gave me enjoyment, but it was happiness. It was a happening. There are certain foods, ladies would call it comfort food. Amen. You say, what is comfort food? Men, comfort food means anything you can poke the pie hole with. Amen. A man doesn't care what food it is. He just wants to shove it in. Now, ladies, well, I'm in this mood, so I want this. And I think I'm in the mood for this. My wife will tell you, what do you want? Whatever you make, good enough for me. I don't give a rip. Just put it on the table and I'll fork her down. Amen. I really don't have a preference. You say, don't you ever desire any type of food? Very rare, if ever. I just want food. It's not a matter of comfort. Matter of, I want to get filled up. Amen. But sometimes, there's certain foods that people will eat to comfort them. And I'm sorry I can't explain that, but I don't think that way, so it doesn't matter to me. Sometimes it's an expression of love. Sometimes that expression of love, by the way, that brings happiness, not joy. An expression of love, someone telling you that they love you, someone telling that they care about you, that is a happening. Did you know I love Brother Rich Stoltz? Get up here. I love this fella. But if he never told me he loved me, I still love him. If he does, praise the Lord. But if not, praise the Lord anyway. My happiness, my joy is not based on whether he tells me or not. My job is to love. If it gets expressed back, that's a bonus. Amen. But my joy is based in me being able to love Brother Rich Stoltz. And it doesn't matter whether it's expressed back or not. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Now hang in there. Did you know that the perfect temperature, sunshine, no rain, at 76 degrees or whatever your perfect temperature is, does not necessarily give you joy? It could give you happiness temporarily. The weather does not affect my attitude. I hate to tell you. Whether it's raining, whether it's cold, whether the snow does affect my attitude. Not in a positive way, but it doesn't affect my mood, all right? My attitude maybe, but not my mood. I just don't like snow. But I've shoveled enough of that stuff in life. I don't like it, amen? But that doesn't mean it's going to affect how I view life. I might not want to jump on the four-wheeler and plow the parking lot. I might not want to pick up the shovel and unstick my vehicles. Now, fortunately, around here, generally, we don't get an awful lot. Praise the Lord. But every once in a while, we get a big old wopsucker snowstorm around here. And man, I hate them things. Now, wait a minute. But the perfect temperature, sunshine, no rain. Those are nice days, but that doesn't give you joy. That's happiness. Someone doing something nice for you. The dog being nice to you. The cat being nice to you, not tasing it with a taser, amen? I'm sorry, that story was just hilarious. I still think the guy should have tased the cat instead of himself, amen? But, the other night, the old dog crawled up on my lap. We got a beagle. She's 10 months old. Craziest dog. She's smart, but she's still pup, amen? That old dog, she hopped up on between my wife and I, scooched her nose up. My wife and I are sitting there holding hands, and that stupid dog had to wiggle her way up, put her head right there. And she falls asleep. You stupid thing. What are you trying to do? You know, okay, it was expressing love, my wife says. I endure. No, and I like my dog, all right? The thunder was rolling yesterday. She doesn't like thunder. Now, she's not afraid, but she'll go to the window and bark at it. Say why? Because she's a beagle. She barks, amen? So I saw the lightning flash, and I went, man, she ran over the window. She jumped up, and she's out there howling and barking at the thunder. My wife said, now you're going to yell at her for barking. I said, I know, but it's fun. That's called happiness. It's not joy. Maybe it's some kind of song that it picks you up, or whatever it may be. Maybe, ladies, it's chocolate. All right? For some of you, that's by the way, that's happiness. It's not joy. Okay? Now, listen to me very carefully here. Those are all good things, and none of these things are bad things. But joy is not determined by outward stimulants. Joy is not determined by something that happens externally. Joy is what you are to have on the inside. Joy is not affected by what's going on around you. Joy is what you are on the inside that no one can take away from you. Listen to this statement. Joy is there whether happiness is or not. Joy is there when things are going well. And joy is there when you're headed to the funeral home. Joy is there when everything is sunshine and puppy dogs and everything else. And joy is also there when there's more month than there is paycheck. Joy is not a result of what's going on around you. Joy is based on something that's inside you that is eternal. And let me say it this way. It's there whether it's expressed back or not. Now, let me help you with something. We need a revival of joy in Christianity. Let me say that again. We need a revival of joy in Christianity. I'm going to make a statement here. About 10, 15 years ago, we had preachers that were leaving the ministry for a year because they were depressed. They were taking a sabbatical. They wanted to take 6 months or a year and leave the ministry for a while because they're just so stressed and just so overwhelmed and just so depressed. They need to take some time off. Because all that told me is that person doesn't know who the Holy Spirit is. They have no joy. I'm not saying you don't need time off every once in a while. I try to take a day off, half day off every week. I try to take a little bit of time off. Every once in a while, I'll take a few days off with my family. But I don't need more time off. I need more time on. Listen to the statement. We have let our emotions, the news, the world influence, and everything else influence us so much that Christians don't have joy anymore. We need to revive joy. Joy cannot be taken away. Let me say that again. Joy cannot be taken away. Listen. Joy is fixed on eternal things, and it's fixed on internal things, not external things. The battle that we Christians face is this. Are we going to let the happenings around us control us, or are we going to let our joy control us? Are we going to be fixed on what's going on around us, or are we going to fix our joy based on what's eternal, what's right, whether things are going good, whether things are not going so good? You see, happiness, I'm not here to say that happiness is bad or sinful. It's not. Did you know being happy is not a bad thing? It's not a sinful thing. But you can be happy and not have joy. But you can't have joy and not be happy. Now listen to this statement very carefully here. I want to show you how God says you can have joy when there's little or no happiness or little abundance going on around you. I believe the Bible was written by God, not man. I'm not against saying, well, David penned these words at a certain time. Okay, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but these are not David's words, these are God's words. They were written before David ever was thought about by God in heaven. They were written before the foundation of the world. Everybody doing all right? If a preacher got up and said, well, David wrote these words after his sin with Bathsheba. I don't know whether that's true or not. I just know this. God wrote those words. David didn't. Whether it happened then, whether or not, I don't know. I can tell you this. These are God's words, and it doesn't matter when they were penned. Now, number one, I have four statements I'm going to give you, and I'll be done. And it'll be very quick. Number one. Our sin causes us to be short-sighted on happiness and not focused on long-sightedness, joy. Sin causes us to get short-sighted, not long-sighted. I've been wearing glasses for a long time now. I'm guessing I've had glasses about 10 years, maybe a little bit more. It wasn't the long sight that I had trouble with. It's everything up close. I read so much, I proofread, did so many things with my eyes, it damaged my eyes to where, you know, when you can't see your phone and your arms aren't long enough to read everything, you got problems. And God didn't make the mistake, it's just the short-sightedness isn't there. Can I tell you something? Sin is the opposite of that. Sin doesn't allow you to see what's out there, but you can see everything up close real good. Sin causes you to get selfish. Anybody doing all right? You begin to look through your eyes, not God's eyes. Sin causes you to start. By the way, I'm not saying it's your sin that causes that. Sometimes it's a result of somebody else's sin that you start looking through your eyes and not God's eyes. The drunk driver that crosses the road and hits your car isn't a result of your sin, but it is a result of sin. When somebody crashes into your car, it may or may not be your fault. If it's not your fault, I can't tell you God's judging your sin. Maybe it's a result of somebody else's sin, but it has affected you. Now, you can get all wound up and angry that somebody hit your car, or thank God you weren't hurt too bad. Everybody doing all right? You can have joy and still have somebody crash your car. You won't be happy, but you can have joy. Now, hang in there for a second. We have to realize that God sees far better than we do. Let me ask you a question. Do you know more about life, or does God? So maybe you're not viewing things God sees. So your joy, you may not be happy, but you can have joy based on the fact that God knows what's going on. Well, I just don't understand why God would allow. Maybe God's not allowing it to happen. Maybe it is that man got in the way, messed it up, and wouldn't let God have his way. Everybody doing all right? Now, everybody look at me for a second here. I love you. Every once in a while, God's not allowed to have his way. And we've got to accept the fact people messed it up. But God always has another plan, and it's always right. I don't think God wanted that man, 21 years old, to walk into a church in Charleston, South Carolina, Wednesday night, start shooting the place up. That was not part of God's plan. That's part of the devil's plan, not God's plan. And somebody else's sin messed up a bunch of lives. But can I tell you something? There still is a plan for those people. Everybody doing all right? Okay. I don't think that was part of God's plan. Man, in somebody's sin, messed it up. Now, listen to me very carefully. Sin causes us to get selfish. It'll give you eye problems. Just like the devil. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. When we start getting those eye problems, we start looking through our eyes, not God's. Well, I just don't see why. Oh, see the eye problem? Well, I don't. Wait a minute. What does God say? I'm just depressed, preacher, and I'm going to have a pity party. Okay, let's have a pity party. Get right with God and let's get going. Sin causes us to see life only as it affects us. I love you. I'm willing to tell you the truth. Did you know that your life is bigger than what's going on around you? Did you know that life is bigger than how it affects you? Did you know that just because, just because Mike Schenenberger doesn't treat you right, doesn't mean that Mike Schenenberger is a bad person?
Right.
Now, I've not seen him mistreat anybody, just so you know. But he is human and he is a sinner, and there's a chance every once in a while it could happen. Can I tell you something? Just because he didn't treat you right doesn't mean Mike Schenenberger is a bad guy. Listen to me. Did you know my enemies don't like me? But that doesn't mean they're bad people. I still believe the people that don't like my internal organs are not bad people. They just don't know me. Because to know me is to love me. You hurt my feelings too. I can still have joy. I might not be happy, but I'll have joy. Now wait a minute. I still believe people that don't like me are not necessarily bad people. I can believe in their goodness because there are people that they love. There are people that love them. That means they're not all bad. Maybe it's not directed in my direction, but they're not bad people. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on. Number two. So, number one, our sin causes us to be short-sighted on happiness and not long-sighted on joy. Number two. We must be careful what influences us.
Right.
We must be careful what influences us. Look at Psalm 51, verse number 8. I love this. The Bible says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Circle that word make. Does that sound like a request? Does that sound like it's everything's always going to work out just like we want it? No. God said, make me to hear joy and gladness. Wow. We must make ourselves hear good, joyful, and glad things. If you turned the news on this morning or this afternoon, you didn't hear joy and gladness. Did you know that's one reason I don't do any heavy counseling before a church service? Because I must hit this pulpit glad and joyful, not getting ready to chew somebody out because somebody got missed. I was here till after 1 o'clock this afternoon counseling. I love it. I enjoy it. I had three pretty heavy appointments. Can I tell you something? I'm glad I didn't do it before church. I'd have been wrung out before I got to the pulpit. And I may not have been able to encourage you like I should. I've had all afternoon. By the way, they weren't major problems or anything like that. Somebody wasn't upset or anything like that. Just people with major decisions in their life. I mean life-changing decisions. And I have to make myself push some of those things to another time so that I can give you what you need when you need it. By the way, I want to hear your problems. I want to help you make good decisions. But I may say, let's do it after a service, not before service. Say why? Because I've got to be able to encourage everybody. Everybody doing all right? Boy, that's good stuff. That means we must guard against unneeded negative. Do you know how many people seek negative? It is amazing how many people seek negative. Go to Facebook and find out. If you go to our webpage, it doesn't say follow us on Facebook and what do they call that? That's the word, Twitter. You know, I know what a twit was when I was a kid. That's not a good thing. I don't understand that. I'm not telling you that churches that are on Facebook and Twitter, is that the right word? Sorry, I'm totally oblivious to this stuff. I don't have a Facebook account. I don't have a Twitter account. I get requests almost every week of my life from Christians, even in our church, and I've said this before, and so don't get mad at me, or people around the country. What's the follow me on LinkedIn? Is that the right word? Now, some of you have to do that for work and different things. I understand that. But about 98% of what's on Facebook is negative. Why do you want to follow it anyway? Man, I'm too busy to Facebook, and I'm not even sure what all it is. But I know this. I know enough about it. I don't want anything to do with it. Well, what about people that you knew in high school 35 years ago or 30 years ago that you graduated from? Folks, if they have not, and we have not interacted in 30 years, what do I need to interact with them on a regular basis for now anyway? Well, you could reconnect. For what purpose? I'm not upset. I'm just saying, most of them aren't living the kind of life I want to be associated with anyway. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, hang in there. You're mad now. You're going to kill me in a minute here. Don't dwell on negatives. Do you know that when you come to my office with problems, I don't share them with anybody else except God? And when you walk out, I do my best to forget about it till our next appointment. Then I'll pull it out and we'll work on it. I don't sit there and think for the next however many days between when we set an appointment and when that appointment is. Well, I know that Ellen. I know how bad she is. And I'm going to think about how all those evil things she and I talked about. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mrs. Brining does. Because when Ellen was scratching on her window pretending she was a bear, Mrs. Brining, she wasn't real happy at that moment. Now, wait a minute. That was all good, clean fun. Well, I'm not sure how clean it was, but it was good fun. Now, wait a minute. So many people dwell on the negatives. Can I tell you why some of you are depressed three-fourths of the time? Because all you do is think about what you don't have. Well, I don't have this for my house, and I don't have this kind of car, and I don't have this kind of job, and I don't have this in my bank account, and I don't have... Why are you focused on what you don't have? Why don't you thank God for what you do have? I didn't get up this morning and read my list to God of what I didn't get done. I thanked Him for what was done. Oh, I know the list is longer of what didn't get done, but bless God, there's a lot that got done. Well, I looked at a list this week. There was over 10 people saved because of this church. Bless God, that's 10 more the devil didn't get. Everybody doing all right? Hey, I'm having fun. Well, did you see who wasn't here? Did you see who was here? Y'all are focused on what's not. How about let's focus on what is? Everybody doing all right? See, that's why I have joy and you're depressed. I'm focused on what is, not what was not. See, don't allow the negative, the critical, to keep influencing you. I make myself to hear joy. I make myself to hear gladness. Yes, I knew it was going to be 90 plus degrees today. Guess what? I knew it was going to be humid today. Brother Brining got out of his vehicle tonight. He said, See that? I'm cutting the humidity. Said, you got a knife I can borrow? We'll cut this thing a little bit. Man, it's humid out. And I know it affects a lot of people. Did you notice it hasn't really affected me an awful lot? Say, well, you're younger than me, or you're older than me, or you're just wired different. No, I'm wired really different. Because I'm not focused on how comfortable I am right now. I don't care what service it is. I don't care if it's 15 degrees out or 150 degrees out. I'm sweating. It doesn't matter. I know y'all are froze. But I've got water running down my back right now. You say, why? Because I'm preaching. I go home, take my shirt off, and I take my t-shirt out, and I can wring it after every service. And I don't care if it's 5 below 0 or 150 degrees. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you why? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I'm having fun doing it. I'm working. I'm laboring so that you can get truth. Everybody doing all right? Now watch this. I don't focus on the negative. I'm going to focus on what God is doing. Some of you think my preaching is negative. 98% of my preaching is very positive. Some of you hear one thing and get all funked out, depressed, and never hear another thing I say of how to get out of that mess. Well, I just think you're negative. You don't listen to my preaching then. You're looking at somebody that's breathing life into as much as I can breathe life into. Now, if I rip on the Pope for having a $1 million hat and that he's going to be the vicar of hell, okay, that's not negative, that's fact. You have to realize, I have a lot of new people coming into church. I've got folks that have been in church for the first time in their life. You don't understand something. Some of you have been in church since Noah got off the ark. Okay. I'm talking to my dad there. Folks, do you know that I preached two sermons last Sunday about the church? Do you know to some it's totally foreign, totally new? They don't understand it at all. They really don't. I talked about joining a church. This generation thinks if you just show up to church, you joined the church. Attending church doesn't mean you joined it. And I taught on that last week. I'm not angry. I got new people. I have people that said, preacher, I never heard anything like that. I'll do that. I said, great. I could get mad. Some of you think, why in the world do you preach like that? Because I got people that don't understand it. They really don't understand. I had a lady tell me, well, I thought because I filled out one of those cards when I came here the first time that I joined this church. No, that's called a visitor card. That's not joining the church. She honestly thought because she filled out a visitor's card, she joined the church. Bless her heart. Nobody's teaching it nowadays. You say, well, that's not the way it was 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 years ago. Yeah, you're right. But it is nowadays. And folks need taught. Everybody doing all right? We have a growing church. We've got many new people. Every once in a while, some of you seasoned people, you think, well, you said that a year ago. Yeah, but we've got more people than we had a year ago. Got a bunch of new people we didn't have a year ago, and they didn't hear it, and they need to hear it. Well, you hit the same topics. Yeah, because I've got a whole bunch of new people that didn't hear those topics. Amen? All right, here we go. Number three. We need our joy restored. Look at verse 12. God says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now watch this. To restore means you had it once, but you need it again. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to get real personal here. You don't need to get saved more than once, do you? In other words, you don't need to get saved again, but God said, restore the joy of thy salvation. Let me ask you a question. When you're all mad at me because I didn't say something quite right, or I didn't say something that encouraged you, or I didn't say something maybe that uplifted you at a time where you were down. Can I tell you something? Your salvation didn't change. You ought to have joy.
Amen.
I don't mean to be unkind, but there are certain things that you can concentrate on that will rejoy you. I have been saved for 43 years. I've been saved a long time. I got saved at 4.5, 5 years old. I've been saved a long time. There's people in this room been saved a lot longer than me. There's a lot of people in this room that haven't been saved that long. Worst thing I did is pulled some girl's hair in the nursery, probably, before I got saved. After that, I did a lot worse, trust me. But I can't tell you, at age 4 or 5, I had done real bad things. I hadn't been drunk. I hadn't been high. I didn't listen to rock music, at least that I can control. I don't think I ever even knew what it was because we didn't hear it at our house. Can I tell you something? I didn't do a lot of real bad things, but I was still a sinner needing saved. Mr. Humphreys got up in a primary church service. A one-legged guy lost his leg in the Vietnam War. He didn't have a prosthetic. He had a peg leg. He had a wooden leg. I'm not kidding. You know, it was like Captain Hook, and he wasn't a little dude. He got up and preached on hell one day. I walked over to my Sunday school teacher and tugged on her dress and said, I don't want to go to a place like that. And we knelt down. She opened the Bible, led me to Christ. Bless God. Do you know I haven't spent one day of my life since unsure of my salvation? God didn't say, well, you got it, you lost it, you got it, you lost it, you got it, you lost it. How much did you mean it? I meant it enough to go forward and get saved. How much more do you have to mean it? I accepted what he did. Do you know, if someone gives you a gift, they don't say, well, how much do you mean that? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You accept the gift. It's not a matter how much you mean it. You meant it enough to open the gift. Amen? That's all salvation is. Quit judging somebody's motive. Quit judging how much they meant it. Get excited about your salvation. Did you realize if you got saved, you're going to heaven someday? You'll never go to hell. You won't see hell one time if you've been saved. You won't even see it. Now watch this. I never have to face hell. By the way, if I'm saved, I never face judgment for my sin. It was settled at Calvary. It's under the blood. It's as if I never sinned because God covered my penalty for my sin. And it was already judged and taken care of. Guess what? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. Guess what? If you're saved, you have life everlasting. Can I tell you something? I don't always have good things happen around me, but I have joy because my salvation is eternal. Whew. Can I tell you something? Not everything always goes just the way I plan. I don't know about you. Matter of fact, very little goes exactly the way I planned. But can I tell you something? I still have joy. I do. Man tends to see the problems of life. And the problems of life, when you focus on them, push out your joy and you start looking at the happenings around you. Everybody look at me for a second. I have preached funerals for 2 of my grandparents, facing a 3rd one. I've preached funeral for my wife's grandparents. I've preached funerals for family members. How in the world do you do that, preacher? Because I have joy. The happiness might not be there, but I have joy. My happiness is not based on the fact that my grandfather died 35 years ago. His birthday would have been this week. He would have been 114 years old if he were alive. Guess what? He died 35 years ago. You know what? Even if he would have been alive, he still would have had to face death. like all of us. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. Man, no matter how bad it gets here, guess what? This is the worst a Christian ever has to face. Did you know, if you're saved, this is as bad as it ever gets? Aren't you glad? Do you know if you're lost, this is as good as it ever gets? Whew. How'd you like to think this is as good as it ever is going to be? Bless God, this is as bad as it's ever going to be. If this is as bad as it ever gets, I can take it. Because I know what's waiting. Streets of gold, no pain, no sorrow, no death. I'll be there eternally. We'll rule and reign with him. I'll never have another problem again. Once I get there, my sin nature will be gone. I won't even want to sin after I get there. Hey, I can put up with this a little while. How are you always so full of energy and joy? Because I'm not focused on what's happening here. I'm focused on what's going on ahead, on eternal things. Sin, negative problems chase the joy of salvation away, and we must on purpose restore our joy, not the happiness, but the joy of salvation. Did you know there's days that even preachers could get discouraged? When it's 5:30 and there's four cars in the parking lot and church starts at 6, I'm thinking, oh my. Now I know it's hot. Everybody took a nap. And they're just not moving yet. And some of you, some of the little ones, got out of the car still in nap mode, amen? And they really weren't happy. Some of you didn't get your nap and you need it. Y'all doing okay? Say, did you take a nap this afternoon? Nope, never closed my eyes one time. I'm doing fine. I really am. Say, what's joy? Happiness was when my son sent me a little video on my phone of him baptizing some kid today out in Kentucky. That was happiness. The joy was that kid's never going to go to hell. He's going to heaven. That gets me excited. Not that my son was baptizing him, but bless God, that kid's never going to have to go to hell. That gives me joy. Boy, that's good stuff. You have to on purpose rejoy yourself. Let me remind you that happiness is external. Joy is internal. God does not tell you to restore the happiness of your salvation. He said restore the joy of your salvation. He didn't say go back and get all excited and happy that you got saved. He said, you have joy because it's eternal. It cannot be taken away. Boy, that's good stuff. Next. When we restore the joy of our salvation, watch this, then we'll see people being saved and lives changed through our life. Look at verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Let me ask you a question. Got your nose bent? Always walking around discouraged? How many people have you witnessed to? I don't know about you. I can be having the cruddiest day. I can be discouraged. Miss Sally, I'm going to use our situation here. Her husband was dying on life support at the VA hospital. That's not an opportunity you walk in and say, well, bless the Lord, isn't everything wonderful? No, it's not. It's crummy right then. But I can share the gospel with some of her family and they can get saved, and guess what? We can have joy. Amen. We weren't real happy, but we had joy. Everybody doing all right? She wasn't happy. Her husband was passing to the next life. But we had joy because people got saved out of all that. Everybody doing all right? I just don't understand why I got. Wait a minute. Had Norman not passed, I would have never met the family members that needed to get saved. They may have died and gone to hell. I'm not real excited that she lost Norman, but I'm real excited and I have joy over the fact that somebody got saved. Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. The news came. November 2nd, 1981. Burla Roloff's plane went down in a plane crash. Oh my. Everybody on board was killed. That was on a Tuesday. It was a voting day. I remembered my cousin traveled a lot with Brother Roloff. Tuesday night was soul winning night. Teen soul winning night, church soul winning night. I was raking leaves about three blocks from home when my dad came and told me. I think it may have been my brother. Get home. I'm not done. Get home. Tell him you'll finish it later. What'd you do? I went soul winning that night. I found out my cousin was killed in that plane crash. I went soul winning. Say why? I had joy. I wasn't real happy, but I had joy. I did what I was supposed to do. Everybody doing all right? Hang in there. My pastor, Brother Hiles, died. Guess what? I kept doing what I was supposed to do. Kept soul winning. Kept counseling. Kept helping people. Kept teaching. Kept everything going. Kept the work going. I didn't give up. I wasn't happy, but we had joy knowing where he was. If he were alive today, they'd put him in jail for the way he preached. Trust me. By the way, watch how many people change after bad news. They get bitter. They get angry. Your joy, not your happiness, not your feelings of salvation is what keeps you going when you don't have the happy feelings. Focus on the eternal, not the external. We get so focused on the external. How much money's in the checking account? Let me rephrase that. How much money's not in the checking account? How many bills are coming due and there's not enough checks to write? Or there's not enough money to cover the checks to write. And we've got all these stresses and all these problems. And my daughter's got to have wisdom teeth out. Why in the world do you take wisdom away from somebody that doesn't have any brains anyway? An 18-year-old doesn't have enough wisdom to lose. Why take them out? But you got to do it. Amen. I'm joking. I'm going to pay for that one when I get home. I know it, but it's okay. Can I tell you something? Focus on eternal things, not external things. Focus on salvation. Focus on the fact that your name's written in heaven. Focus on the fact that there's no sin on your account. Focus on the fact that God loves you and that you get to love God. Focus on the fact that the presence of God resides in your body, and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you have the same power of God available to you as anybody else in past history. Whew. Did you know that you have the very words of God? I mean, the ones he penned in heaven. By the way, you start messing with that, you're messing with God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You're messing with Jesus. And if the Word has changed, if its inspiration has changed, there is no God. Everybody doing all right? That's why it's a big deal. Hey, we have the very words of God. What do we have to be upset about? What do we have to be depressed over? Hey, did you know I read the last chapter? We win, the devil doesn't. Well, everything's just getting so bad. We got the sodomites, and we got the Pope saying this, and global warming, and California is going to dry up, and Texas is going to flood and melt away, and we got this happening. We got the never dying eternal Word of God. What are you depressed over? Look at how many people God's used you to see saved. Well, I haven't had any. Well, then go get one. You won't be depressed. God has given us a great church. It's not a perfect church. Say why? Because I'm here and you're here. It's not perfect. Not all happenings are going to be good. But we don't have to lose our joy. We need a revival of joy. To restore means you've lost it and you've got to get it back on purpose. By the way, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Do you know what the word rejoice means? It says rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You have to keep rejoicing yourself. That means you have to keep refocusing yourself. If I take my glasses off, I can't see anything for about 5 minutes. Then I can't see anything close, but I'll be able to take the blur out. I put these on to refocus. I rejoice. I refocus so that I see clearly. God says we need to rejoice. Quit focusing on what's going on out here and focus on eternal things. And that's, my friend, how you have rejoice. That's how you rejoice yourself. Using the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the things of God, the eternal things, not what's going on around you. We all face financial opportunities from time to time. Things get tight. Sometimes you wonder, is it ever going to quit? No. Not as long as there's an IRS. let's face it. We all go through those things. I just want one time in my life. You may not have it. I can promise you when we follow what God says, it gets a little bit better. At least you can have your joy. You don't have to be depressed over it all the time. We need a revival of joy amongst Christians. Here's the average Christian.
Yeah, I'm a Christian. Can't go do that. Christianity, can't do that. Can't do this. Can't do this. Can't do that.
Some of our folks went to Hershey Park recently. Interesting. They now have a water park area. I do not advise any Christian going to a place where people are running around in their underwear. I don't care whether it's got water or not. But they walked by it and saw a sign and started laughing because as the sign reads coming from the water park to the rest of the park, it says, please do not exit until you're dressed properly. Guess what? That means on the other side of the sign, they're not dressed properly. Even the world knows that. They're not smart enough to see what it says. Can I tell you something? Rejoice yourself. Rejoice yourself. Have a revival of joy. Not everything's going to happen like you want. But you can still have joy. You can rejoice. Say, how do I do it? That book's eternal. God's eternal. Did you know God can't reach down and hug you, but you can tell God you want to give him a hug? When I'm with people and they're passing, I tell them, most likely you're going to get to heaven before I do. Will you give Jesus a hug for me when you get there? Tell him I love him. Will you tell him to keep his hand of blessing upon our church? I can't tell you how many people I've sent ahead to hug him. I can't tell you how many times I walked through the doors this morning and said, God, I wished I could hug you today. I wish you a happy Father's Day. I can't, so the best thing I can do is preach and give the people what you and I have talked about this week. God, I hope you have a happy Father's Day. I love my daddy. I wished him a happy Father's Day, and they came to our house and ate today, and I even gave him a card. Aren't you proud of me? Now, wait a minute. I told him I loved him. But I want my God to have a happy Father's Day. I really do. I want God to have a happy Father's Day. I want God to have a happy Sunday and a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. And I want to be one that brings my Heavenly Father joy. How about you? Let's focus on the eternal, not the external. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We need a revival of joy. How long has it been since you came to an altar and thanked God for your salvation? Thank God for what He is. Not what's going on, but what He is in the eternal things. How long is it? Maybe you just need to come and refocus a little bit. Maybe you need to come and join our church or whatever you may need to do.